thanks for coming. This is the second of two talks on the three bodies of the Buddha.
Yeah, can I hear your back?
What?
Can't hear.
Okay, well, somebody has to help me then. I cannot fix this.
Wendy 就是这个没有开，所以没有办法用。所以是不是后面听不见，听不到？有听得到，请举手。
Hello?
他没有打开啊，不是，
没有电。
Hello? That's
fine. Yeah.
All right, great. Thank you, Karen.
Face shot now.
这个可以啊，你听得到。
Okay, all right, we're on the road. This is the second of two talks on a well-known and fairly commonly run across teaching, which is called the Three Bodies of the Buddha. What's going on with this thing is that the various schools of Buddhism over time began to talk about the Buddha or Buddhas in general as having different aspects. So eventually they developed various schema which talk about the different aspects as different Buddhas. And this, this is important for the cosmology that underlies some of the sutras. Those of you who have been reading sutras, if you've read the source Buddha sutras, the Pali sutras and so on, and also read Mahayana sutras, you will have noticed that they talk about the Buddha in different ways. It's not exactly the same. There is a difference there.
谢谢各位来听第二次演讲，题目是佛的三身。这个题目也许很普遍，大家也许都听过佛有三身。为什么有这个题目呢？就是说佛教开始进化的时候，人家都开始想佛的不同方面，不只是我们释迦牟尼佛，还有所有的佛有几方面的，不只是一方面，这个会影响佛教的这个宇宙性。
Okay, so last week we talked about the way the Buddha is described in the source Buddhist teachings, and we used a famous sutra which is called the Buddha's Last Days, or the Parinibbana Sutra, as a text. We just sort of went through and looked at the way the Buddha was depicted to try to pick out various aspects of him that later become expressed as different bodies of the Buddha.
我上个星期谈的是原始佛教，特别是一个巴利经，巴利的佛经。那这个巴利的佛经就开始看这个佛有不同的方面。这个就是开始我们所说的这个佛的三身。
Okay, well, we noticed when we were doing this that the Buddha in the original sutras, a lot of his time, this is the sutra, it's a famous, very famous sutra, it's about the Buddha leading up to the time when he died. So he's already a famous teacher in India. He's got a lot of followers. Everybody knows him. One question is, well, how does he spend his time? What does he actually do? The answer to that is he teaches the Dharma. If you work through it, you'll see that by far the most important thing for the, that the Buddha does, he spends the most time on this, is simply teach the Dharma.
这个巴黎佛经的最后一个叫涅槃经，涅槃经就是讲佛的最后几天还在人间。那我们看这个涅槃经，该知道为什么佛那么那个时候很出名的，大家都认识这个佛。我们看他佛到底怎么过生活，他怎么过生活呢？他都是教佛法，所以我们就是看这个涅槃经，就是看他教的佛法。
All right. We spoke a little bit about the fact that the Buddha in this role as just a Dharma teacher, the Buddha isn't really all that different from an ordinary human being. At least he doesn't have to be. Because all he's really doing is going around meeting groups of monks and talking to monks and nuns and sometimes lay people and talking to them about the same things that you're. Most of you are probably familiar with the basics of the Dharma, the Four Noble Truths, the three seals of the Dharma, 12 linked chain of conditioned co-arising, all of the very basic teachings of Buddhism that he had been teaching for 40 years. He's just teaching it again and again and again, reminding people of what the Dharma is again and again and again.
我们看佛，释迦牟尼佛的这个角色就是好像跟一般人都差不多了，没有什么两样。实际上他就是要讲佛法，他就是很多出家人，偶尔也有在家人跟他们谈这个佛法。那他谈什么佛法呢？他就是谈我们所已经学过的，像这个四圣谛法的佛法的三印，这个十二因缘。
All right, but that's not all he is. When you read the sutra, you will see that in another aspect of him is that he is different from ordinary people, and they know it. This is, the idea here is that if a person has actually become a Buddha, a realized Buddha, as Shakyamuni was at this time, some kind of change has occurred. And we talked a little bit about the differences, what those differences might be. In some schools, they talk about his actually having obtained different dharmas in his, which are mental cognitions and compassion from those that the ordinary person has. Because he's a Buddha, he actually sees things differently from the way ordinary people do, and he responds with tremendous compassion, much more than the average person does. And these, the way they talk about it is these things are actually, differences in his brain, in the way he thinks, in the way he perceives the world. He's different from an ordinary person in some way.
但佛不只是像一个人一样的。如果你要变一个佛，一定有一个很大的变化。那这个变化在哪里？这个变化就是他怎么思想。他的脑筋一定是有一个基本的变化，他有这个基本的变化，他才可以了解所有这个是最深的道理。
All right, now, and the last thing, the third aspect that you will notice in this is he does have some magical powers. He does miracles, things that would be called miracles by most people. And this is also part of the basic teachings, highly evolved people, highly advanced practitioners in the early Buddhist tradition in particular were thought to be able to develop certain kinds of supernatural powers. And the Buddha had these, and he demonstrates them on occasion in this sutra. It's important to notice that whenever he does that, though, he's doing it for a very specific purpose. The only reason he would ever do it is to teach the Dharma. He demonstrates the Dharma sometimes through sort of magical actions.
那最后我们看到佛还有神通，在那个时候，一个大概他的这个觉悟特别高的人， 他会造一些神通做奇迹，而佛释迦牟尼佛也是做了不少这些神通跟奇迹的事情。那他不只是表演给人家看，他也有一个目的，他用神通的目的就是要教佛法。
OK、so that's sort of where we got、where we got to last time. Now, I think I'd just like to finish off our discussion of the sutra a little bit、by talking about、his actual death, how his actual death is described.
现在就是要把这个《涅槃经》讲最后几句话，特别要注意到佛他怎么样死。
Okay, I mentioned yesterday, last time, at the end, there are two points at which the Buddha becomes sick in some way or other towards the end of the sutra. The first time is he's spending the rainy season in one of these small towns where he's been, and he gets sick. And he's lying there very sick, and so sick that he might die, but he thinks to himself, no, I don't think I should die now.I have more Dharma teaching to do. I have to really make sure that things, you know, that the Dharma is well established, that the Sangha is well established before I die. Then there's an interesting phrase they say, he applies his will to the force of life. And that, you know, because he's got these tremendous、psychic powers, he's able to overcome the illness.And he gets better.
最后几星期，佛有两次生病。第一次生病，他就躺在床上，真的非常非常舒服，临死。但是他怎么想？他说：“我还有佛法还没有教完，我也要肯定佛法跟僧家有个好基础。”所以他就是使用他的意识，逼自己。
All right, after that, Ananda comes in, his attendant monk Ananda, and Ananda says, oh, you, Lord, I was so worried that you were really going to die. You know, Ananda's really upset. He talks about how he was really discombobulated by the Buddha's illness. He completely lost his composure. And he said, but then finally,I realized, I knew that I really didn't think you would die without making a final statement to the Sangha.
这个时候阿难就来，他就看到佛那个身体不好，他就开始很不安。他说，世尊，我真的怕你这次就是要过世，要离开我人间，而且我是希望你一定要过世之前你要说最后一句话给我们听。
Well, the Buddha responds a little bit negatively to Ananda's statement. He sort of says, Ananda, how many times do I have to tell you? all conditioned things are of a nature to decay. You know, this is the teaching of impermanence, right?Anything that exists because of causes and conditions eventually is going to not exist. And that includes people. Okay? And that includes Buddhas.
所以佛回答有一点不满意不高兴。他说我有好几次跟你讲所有的现象都一定要腐烂掉。这个包括人也包括佛。
All right, and so then he says the famous, very famous quote from the sutra, Ananda, you have to be. I don't need to talk to the sangha again. You know, don't come in. You know, what am I going to tell them that I haven't told them 100 times already, 1,000 times? You have to be an island unto yourself. You have to be a refuge.Unto yourself, I am going to die. I am going away. It's going to happen. How many? I've told you that for years. And why aren't you ready? You have to be prepared.
佛说，我
我不需要再跟商家讲，已经讲了好几次。我有一句话就跟你们讲过，你要好像一个海岛，完全独立，你要完全依赖自己，不可以依赖其他的，要开悟一定要依赖你自己。
Okay, and so then he says, well, how do you become an island unto yourself? The answer is the Dharma. He just says, once again, remember the Four Noble Truths, remember, you know, the Eightfold Path, remember the teachings, remember causes and conditions, remember this. It's the Dharma, right? You have to know the teachings.That's how you can do it.
阿难就问他说，那我们怎么依赖我们自己，不靠别的？他说，我回答说，都是佛法，我所教的四圣谛、八正道、因缘，所有的教法要依赖，就是要看佛法。
Okay, so once again, big emphasis on the Dharma.Everything really comes down to that. Bob asked last week what I was driving at and talking about this, and well, that's what I was driving at really, is that the Dharma is the most important thing. Okay? It's these teachings. That's what it is. It's more important than the person of the individual Buddha. It's more important than ordinary people.
所以我上个星期要特别注意到，大家要注意到，佛法是最重要，比佛还要重要，比一般人还要重要，就是佛法。
All right, well then there's another incident where the Buddha eventually, this leads up to the Buddha's actual death. The Buddha's invited to have dinner by a lay person, and he's going to go there with all of his followers.Now, before he goes, he's visited by Mara, you know, the devil. And Mara tells him, why don't you just ask him, you know, why don't you just go into Parinirvana now? Why don't you just die now? This is an interesting question if you think about it. You know, if you ask an ordinary person, why don't you just die now? They would say, well, I don't want to die. Right? But,He's asking Buddha, and you see that part of the Buddhist teachings is that at the end of the day, he's going to go into Nirvana, right? Which is actually considered to be a good thing, right? It's not anything to be afraid of, it's sort of the goal, you know? And so Mara is being kind of tricky, you know, coming in and saying, well, here you are, you're an enlightened Buddha. Why waste your time? Get there now, that's where you want to go, right? Get there right now.Why wait around?
那他第二次胜利就是引导他真正的过失。他本来被一个在家人请着吃饭，他准备去吃饭之前，魔就来了。那魔就跟他讲说，你为什么不立刻就入的最后涅槃？你何必还要留下？你过世现在不是才进去最后一个涅槃就好？那一般人都会说，为什么我不要死？我想活。那我并不是这个意思。
All right. So the Buddha says, "Well, I'm not ready yet. I'm not going until I've fully established the Dharma here and the Sangha. I've got to make sure that the Dharma is available to people in the future."That we have a sangha set up that can teach the Dharma, so that this whole thing that I've been doing will continue. Right? I have to make sure that that's in place.
所以佛回答他说，回答魔说，我还没有准备，我要肯定，我要建立很好的佛法，建立很好的僧家，可以教这个佛法。肯定人有佛可学，佛法可学。
So, Mara then, you know, presses him, pushes him, you know, come on. And Buddha finally says, it's a little odd, but Buddha finally says, well, all right, listen, don't worry. I'll be ready in 3 months. I won't be here longer than 3 months. Don't worry about it.
圣母一直逼他，逼他要他过世，到最后佛就跟我说，哎，你放心，我三个月之内一定会过世。
Alright, and so then Buddha tells Ananda about it. Ananda gets upset again. Buddha, why are you leaving? Don't leave, don't leave. I wish you would stay. Buddha, you know, at this point is saying basically, well, this is it. I'm going to do it. It's going to happen in 3 months, so get ready.
那我就跟安南说这件事情，安南就开始很着急，说：“世尊拜，请你不要过世，请你要留下。”那释迦牟尼佛跟安南说：“没办法，一定三个月之内，我一定要过世，一定要入最后涅槃。”
All right, well then, you know what happens then? This part of the story is pretty famous too. He goes to this dinner that his follower is cooking for him and the other monks. And the follower has produced this dish, which is translated as Pig's Delight in the English version that I have of the, you know, translation of the Pali. There's a footnote there that says that this is a dispute, there's a dispute among translators and scholars as to what this Pig's Delight really refers to. Some people think it means pork, and that he was actually eating pork in this last meal. Other people say, well, it's maybe not pork. It might be something that a pig likes. And they think truffles. Yeah. Pigs like truffles. You know about that? It's right there, you see.
所以他就准备去他的在家的弟子吃一个饭。那这个弟子准备一个晚餐。这个翻译他说给他吃的英文就是猪的那个欢喜，所以猪的欢喜到底是什么？这个翻译的人有一点不同意，这个意思到底是什么？有的人说，这个猪的欢喜就是猪肉，就是说佛最后一次吃东西就是猪肉。那别的人说呢，不可能是猪肉，那个是一个猪喜欢吃的东西，像叫麦蕈，麦蕈就是一种。
All right, well, when they get there, Buddha tells the cook, the guy who produced all the food, said, well, give all this other food, all the other food to all the other monks, because they wouldn't be able to digest this pig's delight. I'll eat all the pig's delight myself.
所以释迦牟尼佛到他的弟子家，就跟那个厨师说：“啊，你准备很多东西，还有这个猪的欢喜，所谓猪的欢喜。”他说：“这个猪的欢喜好像不是很容易消化，所以这样子，你把其他的那个菜，你所准备的菜给其他的人吃，我自己一个人就把这个猪的欢喜吃掉。”
So that's what they do, and of course, it turns out that even the Buddha can't digest the pig's delight because that's what kills him. He becomes ill from having eaten this stuff. And, you know, then there's, you know, more interaction with the various people. He says, he tells Ananda, look, the guy who cooked this, Kunda the smith, who cooked this, he might feel bad because he fed me this food that killed me. But you got to tell him that the two greatest ways to gain merit, Buddhist merit, the two greatest ways are to help a Buddha attain enlightenment or to help a Buddha pass into parinirvana. So this is actually a big favor that he's done me because he's helping me enter nirvana. So he shouldn't worry. He shouldn't feel bad. If you take an action that helps the Buddha achieve enlightenment, you know, all Buddhas achieve enlightenment, and then they later pass into parinirvana. That's the other.
所以佛就吃这个猪的欢喜，好像他也没有办法消化，因为就是这个菜就让他过世，就是给他过世。所以这个佛对阿难说。他临死他就跟安南说，你最好不要跟那个厨师讲他的这个食物就是让我死， 好像是一个很大的一个不好的事，会让他好高兴好不愉快，好伤他的心。所以你就可以这样跟他说，有两个最好两个办法可以得到这个功德。第一是帮一个佛开悟，第二帮一个佛入最后涅槃。所以这个厨师他是对我非常的好，他就是让我入最后一个涅槃。
All right, then the Buddha does pass away finally, and there's a sort of a little bit of a political back and forth among all these various groups that are claiming some sort of closeness to the Buddha because they want to get relics from his body after his body is cremated. He is cremated. And it all, you know, there's a little, it's just kind of funny. I mean, it's sort of like politics. There's a little back and forth. Well, I did this for him. Well, we did this for him. Well, at the end of the day, they work it all out, and all the groups get some relics. And they all build stupas, you know, stupas, and put the relics in the stupas, and that's the end of the Buddha's life on earth.
So he finally passes away.过世以后，好多好多小组，他的弟子是分很多小组，他们开始吵来吵去，他们想拿到他的遗宝，就是烧身体以后留下遗宝，所以他们谈论过以后，他们就最后把他的遗宝分给很多那些小组，那这些小组的人，他们就去盖宝塔存那些。
All right, well, all of that was just, you know, basically I got interested in the sutra when I read it. But I do think that it's useful to think about, what the Buddha was actually doing. We can see these three basic aspects. In many ways, like an ordinary human being who's just a teacher, a very, very high-level teacher. In many ways, he's like that.Other ways, well, he's a little more than that because he's actually got these, he's got the magical powers, but he's also got this tremendous ability to see things. One thing he does all the time is he can see all the devas, the heavenly beings. He can see them. Nobody else can see them, but, they'll say, they try to pick up a table or something. We can't pick up this table. What's the matter? What's going on? And Buddha say, well, the devas are holding it down. I can see them. They don't want you to move it, right? That kind of thing goes on.But all of that is just to show that, he does have, his perception is better than that of the average person. He's omniscient. The Buddha is basically, he's omniscient.
所以我对这个经，这个涅槃经很有兴趣，所以我就看了，但是还是有个目的，看这个经有一个目的，这个目的是这个我们这个释迦牟尼佛到底在做什么？他有三方面，一方面他就是一个老师，非常高的一个老师，就像一般人一样的老师，但是他比一般还要高，他的教法还要好。第二个，我们也不能否认他有神通，那这个神通还有一个洞察力，他什么都可以看得很清楚，他可以他的直觉感非常大胆，只有他可以看到。这些神就是说还有六道还有神道，他可以看到这些神，比方说有一些人要抬起一个桌子抬不起，他们说哎，怎么搞的，这个桌子这么重，我们没有办法抬起，那个佛说哦，就看到好多神坐在上面，他不要你抬这个桌子。
OK、well now what I'd like to do isGo over certain aspects about the Buddhology, to use a fancy word, the Buddhology of the source of Buddhist teachings. This is the pre-Mahayana concept of the Buddha. You should know what this is. We're in a Mahayana school here, but remember, the Mahayana does not deny the truth of the earlier teachings. Mahayana...accepts the truth of that and expands upon it. So you need to know that to know what's going on. All right, well anyway, so in the
this is going to be a little bit of a list here, but I think it'll be informative. Okay, there are basically three classes of enlightened beings. Three different types of being are enlightened in the source Buddhist that teaches. Now, one is arhats. You've probably heard that word, arhats. Okay, now what are they? Well, they are beings who have eliminated all outflows, as they're called. Let us say all negative, vexatious mental energy, which is what keeps us trapped in samsara, ultimately, according to the initial, the original Buddhist teachings. Arhats are people who've eliminated all that. They have practiced and practiced and practiced, and it's all gone. All the negative energies, the fetters, as they're called, and have been eliminated from them.
现在我要用这个时间来谈一谈这个大乘佛教之前的经跟之前的这些道理。我们这个禅宗天就是一个大乘佛教的这个庙，但是大乘佛教也是承认以前的那个原始佛教跟那个南传佛教的他们所教的那个内容，没有否认，他就是把这个教法再加上新的。就是还要发达多一点的，所以我们要先看这个原始佛教跟这个南传佛教，他们有三种不同的已经开悟的人。那这三种是哪一种？第一个就是阿罗汉，大家大概都已经知道阿罗汉是什么。那个阿罗汉已经是开悟到没有腐漏了。不落的开悟就是说现在没有什么烦心，现在没有什么可让他执着的这个我们这个世界。
OK, now the arhats are called non-returners, OK, who, that means they won't ever be born again into samsara. This is their last lifetime. A person who's an arhat, when that person dies, they're not going to come back into the cycle of samsara. This is it.
一个阿罗汉完全无漏，所以他不再来，你可以说是不再来的。他过世，他不会再来我们这个世界。
Okay, now that's called nirvana without remainder. You'll see that phrase. These are people who nirvana without remainder.When I'm gone, nothing, there won't be any trace of me after this.
So, this is called the 无剩的涅槃. 我一过世以后, 你不会再看到我, 没有任何留下来的.
Okay, now, you may know, some of you may not, we can go over this fairly quickly. Actually, the ultimate goal of all three of these types of enlightened being is to escape from samsara.Now what is samsara? Samsara is the cycle of birth and death that we're all going through now. All sentient beings are trapped in this cycle. They cycle, Buddhism believes in karma and rebirth. When a sentient being dies, they will be reborn somewhere, unless they are one of these enlightened beings, in which case they will go into nirvana, which is different.But if they're reborn, where they end up being reborn depends on their karma. And there are lots of choices. There are actually 31 different modes of existence, 31 different levels, if you want to call it that, that you can be born into.
那这三个就是开悟的人，他们的目的就是不要再来我们的世界，不要再来这个苦的世界。那我们大概知道为什么都要回来，就是轮回。轮回就是造业报，我们再轮回到这个世界的六道。那实际上有31种生存的方法，31种。
11 of these are in what's called the desire realm, There's a teaching of the three realms. You'll see that. We'll see that phrase often. That's referring to these 33 levels of existence, but it's dividing them into three big groups. The lowest group is called the desire realm. And there are 11 realms in the desire realm. 11 different levels in the desire realm. And then you have the form realm, which has 16 more. And then you have at the top the formless realm, which has the four highest levels.
对不起，我这三个我都忘了怎么说。欲界，欲界，色界无色界，谢谢谢谢，我都。所以，头十一个生存的方法就是属于这个三界，一个叫又忘了欲界，脑筋，欲界。第二个是色界，第三个是无色界，欲界就是你想要的、可要的，就是像我们这边就可以算是这个色界，欲界。那色界就是还有样子，不一定是像我们的身体的样子，还是有样子。最高的是无色界，就是完全没有样子。
This guy, you're going to be at the 28th level. All right, anyway, these now, just quickly, you know a lot of this stuff, I see some of it anyway. Everybody has heard about the bottom six of these 31 levels. Those are the ones in the six rounds. The lowest one is the hell realm. Lowest place you can end up in is hell. And there are actually different levels of hell. But remember, if you go to hell in this system, it's not permanent. None of these things are permanent. That you can go there and you might stay there for an incredibly long time. You know, they have these very, very huge numbers that they apply to how long you might have to be there. But it's not infinite. It will, in fact, end at some point.
大家都知道最下面的六道，我们所知道的六道。 最低的六道当然也是地狱，那这个地狱自己也有不同的那个称词，但是不是永久，就是说你去地狱不是说永远出不来，什么都是有限，所以要看你为什么要去那个地狱，要去多久，就是按照所做的所造的那个业报，但是。
早晚就会出来。Okay, above the hell realm, they have the animal realm, they have the hungry ghost realm, they have the realm of the titans or azuras, as they are called. Those are sort of curious. You get different ideas in different schools about exactly what that realm is, what these guys are like. They're angry, though. I'll tell you that. Everybody thinks they're angry. Those are all sort of thought of as being negative places to end up.
这个地狱之上还有这个畜生，还有恶鬼，还有阿修罗。阿修罗就是神，但是好不愉快的神，所以大家都不要轮回到这几个这四个道。Okay,
the fifth realm is the human realm. That's where we are, and then the sixth realm is. Generally speaking, is where all the heavenly realms begin. And then everything above that is one of these heavenly realms. And there's a bunch of them up to 31, right?
那在上就是人生，就是我们自己的人的这个道。在上就是天道，天道也有它的层次，越来越高。Now,
the heavenly realms are nice places to visit. But you'll only be visiting. It's not permanent. And, you know, basically the realms you can get into depend on your attainment in previous lives, basically. Yeah, the belief is that, you know, meditators who can reach, you know, deep levels of samadhi, some of the high levels of samadhi, because they can do that,
in their next lifetime, they might very well be born into one of these higher realms of the heavenly realms.
那这个天道是个很好可访问的地方，可去的地方，但是像其他的道一样，不是永久。那如果是一个修行，修行非常非常高，也可以去这些最高最高的这些天道。
All right, it's generally thought to be not such a great idea to end up in one of those realms, though, if you're a serious practitioner of Buddhism. The idea here, it's curious, but it's there. This is what they will tell you. These are places where you end up wasting time because it's so much fun. You sit around and you're just having a great time. But meanwhile, all the karma that got you there in the first place is being used up. And eventually, you're going to be bounced back into the cycle. And you may then have to deal with going to hell again or something, who knows, right? So you end up back in the cycle, and that's considered to be a negative. So the human realm is generally thought of as the best realm to be in because that's the realm where you can practice. That's the realm where practice is the easiest.
如果你这是修行的人，你最好不要去天道，为什么？ 因为天道是非常非常娱乐，是好像玩得非常高兴的一个地方，是你可以在那边就是过一天过一个非常非常舒服的生活，但是你再过这个生活，你的业报，那个好业报所创造的这个好业报，慢慢都消掉，消完了没有了，你还要再下来，说不定你会再下去这个地狱，那在这个。 这个地狱那个道，或是什么不好的道，所以最好这个六道之内最好就是人生道，因为可以修行，这个才可以修行开悟念佛。The
beings who inhabit these heavenly realms, they're called devas, D-E-V-A. That's a sort of general word that can apply to inhabitants of all these different heavenly realms. Another word that you'll see is Brahma, B-R-A-H-M-A, which is a word that comes out of Hinduism, you may know that. It's not used in the same way that it is in Hinduism. Here, in Buddhism, it refers to some beings who live in these various heavenly realms. And each realm has different characteristics, so it's very complex. There's a lot of realms, but they're all heavenly beings, these devas and brahmas.
那这个住在这个天道的这些叫神，这个梵语叫 Deva D E V A 就是印度语，还有 Brahma 就是最高的这个神，但是都是从印度教了得来的，但是用法不一样，所以这些界天道的界很多很复杂，它每一个界有它特别的特点。
Okay, now the ultimate goal of everybody is nirvana. What happens if you enter nirvana is you get out of the cycle. You're gone. And then everybody, every normal human being thinks to themselves, yeah, but then what happens next? Right? Isn't that what you think? Right?
所以大家最后一个目标 就是入涅槃，那入涅槃就怎么样呢？有没有想到？哎，对，如果是真正的可以开悟，可以入涅槃，那涅槃到底是什么样子
？That's a natural question to ask, right? Of course. Well, then what happens? All right. Well, the Buddha was asked this in a couple of sutras. You may have heard this before. The Buddha occasionally would refuse to answer questions. Why would he do that? He would do that if he thought that trying to answer the question would not help, not be helpful in his basic purpose, which is always and forever to overcome human suffering. You know, he's here to liberate sentient beings. And if thinking about a certain issue, worrying about a certain issue, doesn't help with that task, he doesn't want to spend any time on it.
在佛经里面，有人几次问佛，涅槃到底是什么样子？ 您也许会注意过，有的时候佛拒绝回答问题，他不肯回答这些问题。为什么不肯回答？因为佛的目的就是要度人，就是要取消人的苦，所以他觉得有的时候人就开始想一些事，跟这个目的没有什么大关系，所以如果他觉得是不会帮助他度人，他就不回答。
Well, the question, what's it like to be in nirvana? Or, you know, what happens after you're in nirvana? Those questions were questions he wouldn't answer. There are a couple of sutras where he's asked. In one of them he just says, no, I'm not going to answer that. It's a waste of time. In the other sutra, he comes up with a very famous analogy. He says, look, asking me that question, you are like a person who's been shot with an arrow. Poison arrow. You're lying on the ground with a poison arrow sticking out of you. You could die at any minute. And instead of trying to get the arrow out of yourself, you're asking me where the arrow came from or what happens next, right? Don't you think you should spend your time getting the arrow out?
有两次我被问这个问题。第一次他说我不回答，这个不重要，你最后要专心，就是要开悟，就是要取消这些苦。但是有一次他就回答，但是他还用一个非常出名的一个比喻来回答，就是有人被射到一个有毒的一个箭，这个毒的箭在他的身体，所以在他的身体里面，他你不一定要问这个问那个，你最重要就是要把这个箭拿出来，治疗好福不死。
All right, but everybody thinks about it anyway.
那还是大家还是要想知道涅槃到底是什么样。
I mean, I think you do. And it, you know, you're human beings, right? Well, there are a couple of things that you can say about it that you do hear. I mean, quiescent extinction is one of the ways that Nirvana's talked about. You certainly won't have any suffering. Any suffering that you have now will be gone, will be extinguished. That's almost certainly true, right? You also hear bliss. It's a kind of bliss, okay? These are things you hear. Now, I'm not saying the Buddha would, you know, the Buddha would ever say that or agree with it or even answer it, but you do hear that kind of thing when people talk about what's this nirvana thing like.
虽然那个佛没有直接回答，你还可以说几句话来形容涅槃。第一个就是一个平静的取消。入涅槃肯定是没有痛，没有痛苦，完全平平静静。第二个非常快乐，就是非常快乐的感觉。
All right. There's a famous Theravadan teacher. I read something that he wrote one time, which I think is useful here. He said, people who worry about this question have to understand that you can't really understand what nirvana is unless you understand the concept of no self. You know, the fact that, see, when you say to yourself, well, what happens to me after I get into nirvana? You know, it's me, 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 me. You know, you're still stuck in this way of thinking that you are something different from, you know, you're not in nirvana, you won't be in nirvana if you're thinking that way. You know, I mean, that's sort of what the teaching is.
我有一次看一本书，就是从一个很出名的南传佛教的人所写的。他说第一个，你要了解这个涅槃，就是这个无我这个感觉，这个观念。我们当然都是说我会怎么样，我到涅槃会怎么样，我。如果你是这样想我，你根本不会在涅槃。
Okay, but anyway, I think most of you know this was an issue. And when the Mahayana started to develop, as you know, I'm sure the Mahayana has a somewhat different ultimate goal. They talk about the Buddhahood. You're not
you know. They do also talk about going into nirvana. You see that, but it's a different kind of nirvana. Because what, you know, the ultimate goal in the bodhisattva path is to become a Buddha, right? And in a way that, you know, just from a public relations perspective, that might be an easier goal to convince people to follow, because, you know, people don't ask the same kind of question about that.
到这个大乘佛教，他们看的有一点不同的看法，不同的角度可能来看，他们不是说入涅槃而变佛。
Okay, all right. Now, the second of our three types of enlightened being, you have these arhats. They have, you know, the Buddhas had really advanced disciples who had gone through its whole program and gone all the way to the end were arhats. Okay, this is what they were, right? And they were going to go into nirvana and so on, right? Now, there's another kind of enlightened being that you'll see in the sutras and so on that they talk about. It's sort of unusual and interesting. But these guys are called Pratyekya Buddhas. Pratyekya Buddhas. Good luck.
所以我们刚刚讲的是阿罗汉，阿罗汉就是目的是入涅槃。那第二种，我们是讲那个南传佛教跟这个原始佛教的开悟的人。第二种叫辟支佛。
All right, now what these guys are called solitary Buddhas. The idea with these guys is that they have achieved Buddhahood, but it's an unusual type of Buddhahood.They've gained enlightenment on their own, without instruction from anybody else. Moreover, unlike most Buddhas, they don't proclaim their truth to others. They don't go out and try to teach what they've learned. They are said to pay more attention to the truth of conditioned co-arising. Not sure exactly why, but they do say that.Now, it goes back to this business about, to some extent, about why, if you're already a Buddha, why would you bother to teach? Right? You've got to have some kind of compassion, some kind of motivation to do that. And I guess for these guys, they don't exactly have that.
一个辟支佛也可以叫他单独佛。这个佛有他特别的那个，就是他没有受到任何别人教他，他自己就开悟了，没有上什么课，没有跟别的佛或者别的人就是学习，他自己就是自己开悟了。他们说这个辟支佛，他是特别注意到十二因缘，不知道为什么，但是他们特别注意到十二因缘这个道理。那他们也是说，他们也跟别的佛不一样，他们不通知别人说我是佛，根本不讲，不讲就表示他们也不传道，他们就不开示。他们都是说为什么要教佛？大概是因为慈悲心，他们就是要度那个度人的众生，度众生，所以他们去传法，但是他们好像没有这种动机力。
All right, there's a sutra which gives a long list of these guys. There are, you know, maybe 50 or 60 in it. I mean, just listing, these were all people who were this type of Buddha. And, you know, they all have passed into nirvana, and they're gone, and they didn't leave too much of a trace because they didn't try to teach others. Also, another thing about them is that there isn't always a Buddha in the world, a real Buddha in the world. But there isn't one now, right, in this world. I mean, Shakyamuni, we still know about Shakyamuni because he set up things so that
everything would continue after his death, but he himself is gone. He's not in the world, right? You know, the teaching is that Maitreya, who is going to be the next Buddha, is right now waiting in the Tushita heaven, which is the ninth of these levels. He's waiting there until time, until the appropriate time when he's going to come down again. And he'll know when the appropriate time comes. Okay? That's where the Buddha was before he was born. He was in the Tushita heaven waiting, right? When the time came, he was born. But now the Buddha's gone, so we're now in a world where there is no Buddha. And there can also be periods when there isn't even any Dharma. I mean, that is say, no Dharma that is being taught, right? See, we're in a world where the Buddha himself is gone, but the Dharma is still being taught. You know, there are people who are, you know, trying to teach the Dharma. So if you want to learn about it, you know, you can go get on the internet or go to the library and you can, you know, you can start to learn.
那这个我觉得蛮有意思，我有一个经，它是写每一个弟子佛的名字，好像五十的六十个弟子佛。那我们知道世界上不一定会有佛，现在都没有佛，对不对？但是我们还有佛法，但是也有世界，也有时间，连佛法没有什么佛法可教。直到现在没有佛。 以后又来一个弥勒佛，弥勒佛下一个佛要来我们学习是弥勒佛，但是现在没有佛，但是至少我们有佛法，所以你要学习佛法，还有僧家可以教，还可以去电脑，电脑就可以看很多佛法，但是也有时间根本没有佛法。
But there could be a time, in fact, some, you know, there are teachings out there that there will be a time, the Dharma ending age, you may have heard that phrase, that at some point the Dharma will die out. And that for whatever reason people have changed or something will have happened, some kind of changes will occur that mean that, you know, a young person who might be interested in learning about Buddhism won't be able to. There won't be any place to go to learn about it at that time.
我知道佛也说过有这个，就是佛法的末年，就是说慢慢就没有，连佛法慢慢就没有，所以很可能有一个时候连佛法都没有，就是人他要学习佛法没有办法学，根本没有。All
right, but not to worry too much. Eventually, another Buddha will be born.
不要担心，不久再来一个新的佛。
Okay. So, what are Buddhas? That's the last of the enlightened beings to talk about. Well, a Buddha's enlightenment is said to be greater than that of an Arhat or a Pratekya Buddha. It's said to be insuperable and complete. That's the phrase you may know, Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi. That describes a Buddha's enlightenment, which is absolute, complete enlightenment.
最后一个，第三个就是佛。 那个佛，他的开悟，他的觉悟比智佛跟阿罗汉高多了。他的开悟就是完全百分之百的开悟。Okay,
now in the Abhidharma teachings, in the Abhidharma are shastras that in the source Buddhist teachings that. Talk about the sutras, that they're very, very, very deep intellectual works that basically try to explain everything in terms of causation and you know, karma. Well, in the Abhidharma, they have lists of certain attributes that are unique to Buddhas as compared to Arhats or Pratyekya Buddhas. They're basically 18 dharmas. Buddhas have 10 powers, 4 grounds of self-confidence, 3 kinds of equanimity, and the great compassion. The first 17 of these are regarded as cognitions. One thing you can say about the Buddha is he's omniscient. A Buddha is omniscient. Buddha is not so much omnipotent. There's certain things that Buddha can't necessarily change karma, change the law of karma, okay? But a Buddha is, you know, and Buddhas do have supernatural powers. They can do lots of things. But a Buddha is omniscient. Buddha can, has complete understanding of everything.
那这个佛他的开悟是比谁都高，是最高的开悟，所以要形容一个佛，他说他有十八个法，就是形容他，他有十个大权力，四个大的这个自信心，自己对自己的信心，还有非常大的一个慈悲心。 那我们可以说一个佛什么都知道，什么都懂，不能说什么权力都有，他不是完全百分之百的有权力。为什么啊？业报他没有办法变改，不能改业报，但是他什么都知道，所以我们可以就是说他的那个洞察力跟他的那个觉悟就是最高。
Now, Buddha's compassion is much greater than that of any other kind of being. There's absolute compassion as well. He sees suffering wherever it exists and can eliminate it. He exercises compassion for all sentient beings. He can liberate beings from states of woe and install them in favorable conditions of rebirth.
比什么比谁都高，他看到所有的众生，他都可以看到他们的痛苦。他有一个方法可以度人，度所有的众生，可以取消他们的痛苦。Okay,
there is a teaching that Buddhas around them they have a Buddha field, which is thousands of world systems, more extensive field of authority. Just this huge. This is not the only world system that a Buddha would have access to. Thousands of them.
一个佛还有一个围绕他的所谓佛界，全世界的界，佛界。一个佛有几千个这种世界系统，所以我们这个世界系统不是唯一的世界系统，还有好几千个系统。
Okay, his physical body has certain marks. This is something you see a lot. There are 32 major marks and 80 minor marks. I don't know the whole list, but these, all Buddhas are supposed to have like a wheel, a picture of the Buddha wheel on their palms and things like that. They have really long earlobes, things like that. You can look at that statue. They tend to look like that.
还有一个佛他的那个人身。 他的身体有32大印，还有80小印。那我也不知道这些所有这些印，但是好像手上有一个法轮，耳朵特别长。你看我们这个佛像，就是像这个佛像。
They also have 80 minor marks. I don't know what those are either, but there's a bunch of marks that you're supposed to identify a Buddha.
还有80个小印，我也不知道，但是这些小印都是形容的。Okay,
they're also obviously enormously strong and powerful. They've got supernatural powers.
他们有非常强壮，有这个神通。Okay,
there's a belief that upon cremation, as we said, they leave this substance, which is called sarira or relics. And these things are worshipped. I mean, if you go to, there are places you can go right now where, you can, there'll be a stupa or something, and inside will be these little pieces of substance of some sort or other that are purported to be relics of the Buddha's body, or relics, you also see them relics of famous masters and so on. You see those too.
还有这个佛烧身以后会留下一个特别什么料子，这个叫遗宝。这个遗宝就存在宝塔里面，有的时候还有其他的大的老师跟其他的那个法师，大法师就是会有这些遗宝，会看到。
Okay, an actual physical Buddha is said to consist of impersonal of the impersonal Dharma, that is to say the teachings, Dharma with a capital D, the teachings. He's a conduit of the teachings. That's what makes him important ultimately, the Dharma. The teachings are the most important thing, ultimately.
一个佛的身体也包括佛法，一个佛就是佛法的那个引导，他的目的就是要教佛法。
So when Buddhas are referred to as Tathagatas, you'll often see that, Tathagata, they're being talked about in that capacity without regard to their individual personalities. Now, other Buddhas existed before Shakyamuni did. Some of you know this, some of you might not have thought about it. There actually are two different lists that you can find in the teachings. One lists six Buddhas before Shakyamuni. There's a sutra that lists them. The other list, which is the more popular and more famous one, has 23 Buddhas before Shakyamuni.
我们也叫佛如来，如来是特别叫任何佛的一个特别名字。那有一些经说。 我们释迦牟尼佛来之前，他有七八个佛，有一个经说有六个佛，另外一经比较受欢迎的、比较流行的，说有23个佛，这是比我们释迦牟尼佛来的佛。
All right, in the 23, in the 23 previous Buddha system, the first one who's talked about is Dipankara. You may have heard about this. It's a very famous story. When the Buddha was still a bodhisattva, he came into the presence of this Buddha, Buddha Dipankara, and Dipankara basically told him, "You're going to be a Buddha someday." He predicted, "You're going to be a Buddha." And after that, the Buddha was encouraged, to practice, and he went through many more lifetimes as a bodhisattva. There are a lot of stories about that. That's where it's in that phase where the Jataka tales tend to be written. You may have heard of those tales of the Buddha as a bodhisattva before he actually became a Buddha. The Jataka tales, they're a pretty famous part of the Buddhist literature.
好像是燃灯佛，那个燃灯佛就是认识佛，佛还没有成佛之前是一个菩萨，他是一个菩萨的时候，那个燃灯佛跟他说，你未来一定要变一个佛。那这些讲这个佛当菩萨有一些故事，你可以看这些故事，他们就是佛教文学非常重要的一部分，就是形容。
All right, there are lists where they talk about the biographies of all these previous Buddhas. Now the interesting thing to notice is that they're exactly alike in certain respects. Every Buddha is very much like every other Buddha in certain ways. They're almost all born into rich families. They live for a long time without experiencing human suffering. But then something happens that causes them to experience human suffering and which motivates them to go out and try to find a solution to the problem of human suffering. Eventually they find that solution when they achieve enlightenment. They then begin teaching. That basic pattern that you know from the story, Shakyamuni story, is repeated for almost every one of these. All the Buddhas fit into the same pattern. Now, different life, maybe different place, but same basic idea.
那这23佛的传记都一样的，他们都是在一个很有钱的人的家出生，根本不知道这个人的痛苦，然后就发现人的痛苦，然后他们用他们的生活。 来想一个办法渡人，找一个解决痛苦的一个方法，都是一样的，当然地方不一样。 名字都不一样，但是这个生活过得一模一样。
And most importantly, the Dharma that they discover is the same. They don't have, you know, the teachings that you get from Shakyamuni, Four Noble Truths, Three Seals of the Dharma, Conditioned Arising. All 23 of these Buddhas discover the same Dharma, right? The Dharma is the most important thing. It's the same, regardless of the Buddha. Who
最重要的就是他们这二十三个佛的佛法一模一样，没有任何变化，都是还有个四圣谛，还有个三法印，所有的都是一样的。所以不管是释迦牟尼佛和其他的佛，他们所教的佛法就是佛法。
All right, the last thing about this: certain kinds of supernatural, but not all supernatural, but big events occur at certain points in the careers of all the Buddhas. Every Buddha, whenever one of these Buddhas achieves enlightenment, there's a big earthquake. Whenever the Buddha passes into Nirvana, there's another big earthquake, and there are a few others. You know, there's this. These big events occur at the same place in the life of each of these Buddhas.
最后每一个佛都一样，他们的生活上都有几个很大的事件。一个佛开悟的时候都会有一个大地震，一个佛入涅最后入涅槃的时候也会有一个大地震，还有其他的这一类的东西，但是每一个佛都一模一样，都是有这种大事件。
Alright, Now, in the pre-Mahayana teachings, there are already a couple of early versions of what came to be known as the triple body of the Buddha theory. Generally, they would say the three bodies are thought of as a corruptible body. This might be the rupa-kaya. Rupa, you may know, it means physical form, right, in Sanskrit. The rupa-kaya, referring to the actual physical body of the Buddha.
那这些原始佛教的经也会提到佛的三身，它每一个都是先提到一个叫佛的那个人身，就是物质的身体。
And now this is called a corruptible body because it decays. Subject, you know, it's the human, you know, it's just flesh and blood. It's going to decay.
这是可以腐烂的身体，所以也是叫腐烂身。
Now they also have mind-made bodies which allow the Buddha to travel anywhere. This is one of the big magical powers Buddhas have. They can teleport themselves wherever they want to go.
第二种身体就是一个人，就是心造的身体。这个心造的身体就让佛去任何地方，所以就因为他有这个神通，他要去哪里都可以去哪里。
Okay, and then there's the Dharma body, which in this case, the Dharma here usually means the teachings themselves. It's not talking about individual Dharmas, the Dharmas that you experience, you know, phenomena that you experience. It's talking about Dharma with a capital D, the teachings. You may remember from last week, Kanzi, who's a famous scholar of Buddhism, identifies seven different meanings for the word Dharma.D-H-A-R-M-A that are important, and they're all some of them are pretty close to each other, but different in important ways. So the point is, the word, it's hard to know what's being talked about. You have to really look at carefully at the context to try to figure out how they're using that word Dharma, because it can be used. Well, according to Kanzi, there are seven basic ways that it can be used, and you really need to know which one you're dealing with.
那第三个身体就是这个法身，这个法就是佛法的身体。那这个梵语的 Dharmakaya 这个 Dharma 这个字，实际上有不同的意思。我们知道，就是任何事情，任何所发生的事情，就是叫 Dharma， 就是叫这个字，这个法，可以说一个小法，这个一个法，不是跟佛法不一定有关系。有一个读书人。他研究这个字，这个梵语字 Dharma 法， 的意思，发现有七个意思，那有的意思很像，有的定义很接近，但是不完全一样。
Okay, well that's all I have to say about right now about the Buddhology of the original source Buddhist teachings. I hope that when you, you know, that'll be helpful to you to have heard that stuff when you're reading the sutras and so on, because it can be confusing. You wonder exactly what's going on. Now, I want to quickly shift over to the Mahayana so we can get a little bit of the three bodies theory into this. You know, as you know, the Mahayana, when the Mahayana started to develop, there were certain new ideas were involved. Okay, they were coming up with new ideas about the nature of the Buddha. Okay, those ideas changed somewhat with the development of the Mahayana. And some of these changes are expressed in different theories of the three bodies of the Buddha that the different schools came up with.
现在我已经把这个南传跟原始佛教的对三或者三圣的看法跟那个解释讲完了，希望大家都听到这个有兴趣就可以自己继续研究。现在我要抽出这几分钟的时间来谈一谈这个北传或是大乘佛教的这个解释，这个波的三乘的解释法。
Okay, when you're studying Mahayana sutras, you should always remember that they evolved over time, most of them. Some of them, it might have been like a period of 300-400 years in which different versions were being produced. So what you're actually looking at is a sort of conglomerate of, you know, thinking that has been going, that's gone on for a long time.
那我们看这些大乘佛教的这个佛经，该记得这些经不只是马上就写下，就是几百年的时间，把好多那些佛所讲的、所留下来的道理就写下，写成一个经。所以它就是不同的地方就连起来的造这个经。
Okay, the sutras themselves are venerated. If you've read any of this, you know that there are, in the Diamond Sutra, for example, there are many passages where they say anybody who learns even 4 lines of this sutra and tells it to other people is gaining more merit than a person who gives $100 billion to charity every day for 10 billion years is still don't have as much merit as the person who understands 4 lines of this and can really explain it.
还有这些佛经都是被崇拜的。我们可以看一个好例子，就是《金刚经》。那《金刚经》里面佛说，谁会了解四句，即就是这个四句话，这个《金刚经》的四句话的功德，比谁帮助多少人，给多少这个慈善会的钱还大。
Okay, you may know if you've read the Lotus Sutra, famous, very important Mahayana Sutra, same sort of discussion, you know, they have the same sort of thing, you know. Any place where this sutra is taught is a sacred place because the sutra itself, these teachings have been expressed here, that's what makes things sacred.
一个莲花经也是一样的，大家应该知道莲花经也是非常重要的一个佛经。这个莲花经说在哪里教这个莲花经就是一个很神圣的地方。
Okay, the sutras themselves are sort of thought of as bodies of the Buddha in the sense that they, you know, because the Dharma, the teachings are incorporated in them. You know, this is the most important thing.
所以也会把这个佛经变成佛的身体一样的，为什么呢？因为他们包含的就是佛法。
Okay, well, let's talk now. There's some schools of the Mahayana that you want to be talked about. They develop different versions of the body of the Buddha teaching. Now, it's the current thinking is that the so-called perfection of wisdom sutras or the Prajnaparamita group of sutras are the earliest of the Mahayana sutras. That's most scholars would agree with that.
现在读书人都是研究佛教学的人都差不多都同意，最早的这个大乘佛教经就是《般若波罗蜜多经》。
Now there are several different versions of this sutra that are of different sizes. The first one is the perfection of wisdom in 8,000 lines. Later there's one that's 100,000 lines, and then there's some that are real short. Those are the ones you probably know about. The Diamond Sutra and the Heart Sutra are both sutras out of this big group called the Perfection of Wisdom or Prajnaparamita group, which basically consists of lots of different versions of various sizes.
这波罗波罗蜜多经有很多种，它是一这是差不多是一个集合的一些经，它有的蛮长的，一个有8000行长的，有另外一个有10万行长的。十万句，那以后还有其他的比较短的，而且这些短的我们都比较熟悉，像《金刚经》《忍心经》。
Okay, as you may know, these sutras are often described as presenting two big new ideas, two ideas that are new and that are big. Okay, one is the extension of the concept of shunyata or emptiness to apply to all phenomena.Rather than just the persons, as it seems to do, as seems to be the case in the source Buddhist teachings.
那这些波罗蜜多经、这些大乘经有介绍两个非常重要的意见、新的观念。第一个观念是，好像他们介绍空，什么都是空，不只是人生是空，人是空，还有所有的现象都是空。好像这个原始佛教的经没有讲所有，都是讲人是空，但是大圣的是说什么现象都是空的。
Now this is expressed in the Heart Sutra, which many of you I think know. It's recited, many times a day in almost all Mahayana Buddhist temples, where it basically.When the Bodhisattva Avalokiteshvara was coursing in the deep Prajnaparamita. Prajnaparamita? Is it Prajnaparamita Wisdom Sutras? Okay? He perceived that all 5 skandhas are empty, thereby transcending all suffering. So it's his perception of the shunyata nature of all 5 skandhas, which we'll talk about in a minute, but that perception of the shunyata nature of those things.Transcended all suffering.
所以我们看那个心经的那个重要的道理就是这个样子，就是说空，所有的现象都是空的。像这个心经是非常重要的，差不多每一个大乘佛教中心、佛庙、寺庙都会每天都会讲这个心经。它是观自在菩萨行深般若波罗蜜多时，照见五蕴皆空，度一切苦厄。所以，般若波罗蜜就是这个我们所讲的这个般若波罗蜜多经。
All right, the 5 skandhas you may have heard of, that's a source Buddhist teaching. It takes a human being and basically the 5 skandhas are teaching that.A human being, what we take to be ourselves, actually can be broken down into constituent parts. And these parts come in 5 different heaps, okay? And the heaps are form, then, which is physical stuff and the perception of it, sensation. The other 4 are all mental. Sensations that arise in our mind.Our perceptions of those sensations. How do we react to sensations when they do arise? It's a kind of perception. And then there's volition, which is active decision making about what to do about those perceptions. And then there's consciousness, which is a sort of general thing, which whenever we experience things in the world, consciousness arises, a certain kind of consciousness arises in our mind. You know, we have visual consciousness, for example. When my visual organ comes into contact with this physical object, this object of a vision, well then something happens in my head, in my brain, as we all know. A consciousness, a visual, what Buddhism would call a visual consciousness arises, which is, here's this thing, right? Now, what do I do with that? Almost immediately, I have a perception about it, which is, it's a pen, in this case. The perception thing is basically when you categorize, classify things, and so on. Oh, a pen. Here's a pen. Okay? And, okay. Then I might, if I want to say, oh, I've been looking for a pen because I want to write something here. I get a volition, you know, and I start actually doing things. Yeah, but each one of those steps is a sort of consciousness, as they would call it, which involves this thing and the various sense organs that are involved.
那这个观念就包括五蕴。我们可以说一个人，他实际上是分五堆，这个蕴从那个梵语来的就是堆粒子，堆五蕴，好像是色受想行识。 它是分两种，一个就是身体，一个就是物质方面的，就是这个色。另外四个都是，就是用脑筋的就想的。第一个就是受，就是你感觉；想就是你会用脑筋想东西的；心就是你怎么样要处理东西，你有一个决心做这个或做那个。就有一个是，是就是让我们了解，我们知道。 像我有一支笔，我就看到这支笔，这是一种事。我的眼视可以看到这个笔，这个就是事。那我也许说这支笔，哎呦，刚好在找这支笔，我想写一些东西。那这个就是行，就是说你用你的脑筋想要做什么，要什么目的。Okay.
Yeah, we're running out of time here, but anyway, oh, 2 minutes. I will slow down the clock with my magical powers. All right. Well, anyway, what happened with in the Heart Sutra then says this voidness of all dharma. Every dharma, one of the meanings of dharma refers to individual mental experiences, right? You know, we have a mind stream, which is all these little mental events occurring one after another. Each one of those events, those little mental events, is a dharma. And Mahayana Buddhism asserts that every one of those is shunyata. That is to say, it is impermanent, and it doesn't have any kind of existence that's separate and distinct from everything else. It doesn't exist from its own side. It's empty. Is the way that's usually translated.
所以我们看这个五蕴，刚刚解释的这个五蕴，这个大乘佛教说，每一个人他说用做想到东西，就是有这个就是小那个 dharma， 就是那个 翻译 dharma， 就是说这个 dharma 就是你想到任何东西。 意识流，可是我们有一意识流，就是说我们想这个想那个想给一直下去的这个意识流。这个大事佛教说，这每一个所想的东西都是空的，空的怎么样空的？第一个，它是无常，它根本不会永久的存在，而且不是独立的，还不是说。
我的想法跟其他的没有关系，都是有关系。Okay, well, anyway, there's a lot more to say about that. Don't get hung up on the word emptiness. Probably shouldn't have brought it up right now. But that's one of the big changes that occurred with the Perfection of Wisdom Sutras. Now, the other thing is the Bodhisattva path, which we talked about. That's a big change. Instead of trying to be an arhat and going into nirvana, now the goal is to become a bodhisattva and advance through the stages of the bodhisattva path, which ultimately lead to Buddhism, to a Buddha, to becoming a Buddha.
所以这个观念就是这个大乘佛教所给我们的，就是这空这个意思。第二个很重要的一个道理就是菩萨道，本来我们有阿罗汉，现在菩萨道一个人一个众生，他就是要走这个菩萨道，一层一个层次一个层次，到最后一个目的就是变佛。
Okay, now in these sutras, the Dharmakaya is generally thought of as a collection of the mental dharmas the Buddha realizes that allow him to cognize the truth as it appears. Remember, it's when the Bodhisattva Avalokiteshvara perceived that all five skandhas are empty. That's when he transcended all suffering. But it's that perception. It's some kind of way of looking at things. That happened, right? It's a cognition, okay? It's kind of mental thing. Something happened in his head. That's when he transcended all suffering. And it's those changes that occur in his head in that way, or in any Buddha's head, that for this group, they would call this the Dharma body.
So, 他什么都看到是空的，他可以感觉到的，可以经验到的，都是空的。所以这个每一个思想，每一个就是这个想法，就是这个佛的那个法身。Okay,
now, this is worthy of veneration too. Okay, but then, well, Nagarjuna, who's a very famous, one of the most famous of the Buddhists after the Buddha, who is the sort of founder of the Madhyamaka school in Tibet, of Tibet, which is in Tibet now, says the Dalai Lama's style of Buddhism is Madhyamaka Buddhism, and they go back, generally speaking, to Nagarjuna.
还有一个西藏的大法师叫蒙树，蒙树就是创始这个中任派这个西藏佛教。Okay,
all right. Just give me a couple more minutes. Right now, they don't have an. The Madhyamakas do have a three bodies of the Buddhist system, but it actually incorporates some stuff from the Siddhamatra or Yogacara schools, which I want to talk about very briefly. And so we'll come back to that a little bit later. But now the Yogacara school is sometimes called the mind-only school. They developed a little bit later from the than the perfection of wisdom.
那这个中论这个学，中论宗的观念，关于这个三身，也有一些观念从唯识论，唯识论是另外一个佛教这个宗，它是比这个中论还晚。Okay,
this school is called mind only, and it's sometimes there's a big sort of debate about whether it's a type of idealism. Do they really mean that there nothing exists outside of your own mind?
那这个唯识论的意思就是说只有心没有其他。那有的人是说他的意思是不是说除了你所心所创造以外根本不存在任何东西，只有你心里的有东西，其他都是假的，都是虚的空的。
As I said, it's sort of debated. In a way, yes, in a way, no, is the answer to that. But they're an important school. They did have an effect on Chan. Chan incorporates some Yogacara ideas.
他们可以说有这个观念，也可以说没有这个观念。但是我们最重要的是知道这个唯识论。有对这个禅宗有很大的一个影响。
Okay, for this school, the characteristic of a Buddha, what makes a being a Buddha, is the fact that the being thinks, but thinks in a non-dual way. What do I mean by that? Their Buddhas see the universe, but they do not see the universe as being separated into subjects and objects. That's what we do. When we see things, we almost automatically, right away, think subject, object. Like, they're out there, I'm back here. We're different. We're separate. We're wired up to think that way.
那这个唯识论的想法，就是说他们没有把这个世界变成一个对立的世界。一个佛不会看世界看一个对立的。对立是什么？对立是说什么都有一个主体跟一个对象，根本没有。这个唯识论说根本没有一个主体跟一个对象，只有一个。
All right, through practice, we can learn to experience things that way ourselves, that is say, in a non-dualistic way. Thinking that is not dualistic takes practice.
修行才我们也可以看世界用一个没有对立的一个想法。
Okay, really only Buddhists can do it, so we've got to practice a lot.
实际上只有佛能看有这个思想，我们要多练习。
All right, I'm bringing it home now. That thought process is what the Dharmakaya is in the Yogacara system, in the Sittamatra system. This flow of non-dual thinking. That is the Dharmakaya.
这个唯识论把法身当作这个完没有对立的思想。
Now, that is the ultimate ground of reality in this system. Everything comes out of that. That which exists, exists because it's some kind of emanation from that non-dual thinking of that of the Buddha.
什么都存在就是从这种思想出来的，就是佛的没有独立的思想而创造。
So it's no different from the cosmos itself, the Dharma Dhatu, as they refer to it. So that's pretty heavy stuff, right? Okay, ultimate ground of reality is a Buddha, this non-dual thinking of the Buddha.
就是这个没有对立思想的佛，就是实际的
Okay, now the Sambhogakaya Buddha, the second one, the enjoyment body, this manifests where and how the needs of sentient beings indicate. It's manifesting out of the Dharmakaya, that Buddha's thinking. These Buddhas come out of that Buddha. They are impermanent. The Sambhogakayas are impermanent.
Okay. 第二个报身，报身就是从法身出来的，需要一个佛就是会送到那边去，它也是无常。
Okay, now you know they have a Buddha land of some sort that they're in charge of. These are like Amitabha.Is one of these, and the medicine Buddha is one.
他们也有他们的一个净土，像阿弥陀佛跟那个药佛。
Okay, now the last type, the transformation bodies. This is what Shakyamuni actually was in this world when he showed up, according to these teachings. It's a very different conception from the source Buddhist teachings, but.Transformation bodies are manifested out of the mind of other Buddhas. They're called emanation Buddhas sometimes. It's this psychic power that Buddhas have. They can create beings and put them in places where it will be helpful to sentient beings to have them placed.
最后一个就是化身，化身就是从其他佛的心里所化出来的，就是说一个世界一个地方修佛，那边都会出现一个佛。
That as many as these are necessary can be produced, thousands of them.
需要多少就可以创造多少，几千个。
They don't have to be teaching Buddhism either.
不一定是教佛法。
Anything that's useful.
任何有用的东西。
So people who are following this school would say, well, Jesus Christ was really just a transformation Buddha. Why didn't he teach Buddhism? Well, it wasn't appropriate for those people at that time for him to teach Buddhism. He used expedient means to help those people with what they need.
所以信仰这个唯识论的人，他们会说啊，那就耶稣基督也是一个佛。那他是一个佛，为什么没有教佛法？意思是说那个时候那个地方，他们不需要这种，他们有其他的需要，所以他就要讲其他的东西。
Okay, that's it. Thank you. I'm sorry I ran over. I really don't like to do that. But there's a, I want to apologize a little bit. When I decided to do this topic, I didn't really know what I was getting into. there's a whole lot of stuff. Maybe I'll do another one on this later. Every one of the Mahayana schools has somewhat different ways of approaching this, including Chan. This is something that happens in Chan. Maybe I'll be able to come back and talk more about that. But this last thing, this is the basic idea. There's some cosmic Buddha. Like, sometimes it's actually called a Buddha, like Theravada in the Avatamsaka Sutra. The whole universe is the Buddha. The universe is the Buddha, they say. Okay? Now, and that's like this big mind out of which other Buddhas are emanating. Right? Manifest, right? Amitabha, medicine Buddha, right? And even more, going down to like transformation body Buddhas, Shakyamuni when he was here, right? You know? And there can be thousands and thousands and thousands of them. So it's a staggeringly huge and very beautiful sort of system, I think. It's really kind of wonderful, you know? But, I got into this because I wanted to figure out how it really worked, because when you read the sutras, you see Dharmakaya, you see all these things all the time, and you don't really know what they mean, you know, in that context. What is he talking about? Right? It's very hard. You don't always know. So I hope that this will help you with that, when you're reading sutras on your own.
对不起，我超时间，我没想到这个题目这么深，那么多事情可以讲跟做。也许有一天我会再继续讲，反正最重要的就是说，按照这些大乘佛教，每个大乘佛教的那个宗派都有他自己的一个解释，把这个佛的三身，这个也许可以说是整个的宇宙都是一个大佛，所有的佛都是从这个大心所创造出来的。
Okay, thank you.
谢谢。